Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I love to do word studies. We're going to do a word study on every word in Psalm 119. We live in a wicked world. We do. How many of you are parents? Can I see your hands, please? Okay. How many of you are grandparents? Let me see your hands. Now, which one of you grandparents have the best-looking and the most intelligent grandkids? Can I see your hands? Do you want your kids and your grandkids to stay close to God? Do you? You know, it's been alarming. I read recently a couple things studying some of Barna's statistics, and Ken Ham has a book called Already Gone, and it literally breaks my heart. The book Already Gone explaining that like 60% of our young people from evangelical churches are already gone. And after they graduate high school, they won't even come back to church. Now, I would hope a church like this would kind of mess up those statistics big time, you know? But it is sad that so many of our young people are just turning their backs on God. You don't want that for your kids, your grandkids. So how do you stay close to God? How do you encourage your young people to stay close to God? Because every single one of us, everyone in this room right now, every one of us can be as close to God as we want to be. You draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. It's a promise. So how do we encourage our teens to be close to the Lord? Look at verse 9 of Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you stay clean in an unclean world? How do we encourage our young people to be pure in an impure world? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. When I was a kid, I was raised by my grandparents and for a number of years. And I remember I was in northeastern Pennsylvania, and I said to Granddad, Granddad, I think it's important that I go and explore the woods. I got to find out what's out there, you know, a very, very rural area. And he said, I don't think that would be wise. You'll probably get lost. I said, not me. I know those woods like the back of my hand. I taught Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone everything they know. I can do this. For whatever reason, I talked Granddad into letting me explore the woods. So I'm out there in the woods, and I made a spear, and I saw a deer. And I was chasing the deer. I'm not sure what I would have done if I caught him, but I'm chasing the deer. And all of a sudden, the deer is gone. I'm looking around and hiking some more and a little bit more. And 10 minutes turned into an hour, and 1 hour turned into 2 hours and 3 hours. And I realized I was totally lost. I had wandered off the path, and I was scared. I was only 9. I had no idea what was out there. It was starting to get dark. And there really could have been, I don't know, like lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, yes. And it really was scary for me. Did you know there's something much, much more dangerous than a kid wandering off a path in the woods? And that's when we wander away from God. I have a simple question for all of us this morning. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Do you remember the day that you trusted Christ? I mean, you were overwhelmed with your wickedness and you cried out for that forgiveness. And when that forgiveness came and you were released, those sins were gone and you couldn't wait to tell your friends. You couldn't wait to get to church. Couldn't wait to open up your Bible. It was just, you were so excited about what God was doing in your life. Does your Bible sometimes sit unopened at home? Do you pray? Or does everybody just assume that you pray? In what ways do we wander from God? Sometimes it's wandering thoughts, isn't it? It's so easy to get distracted. Pastor Phelps works hard on the message. He comes up here, he's preaching. We're sitting out there in the congregation nodding, making him think, I agree with everything. And actually we're going, Outback or Olive Garden? Oh, I forgot to turn the oven on. Yeah. And I do. Our minds wander. We do it sometimes to God in prayer. We're praying to our Lord. And we remember what we have to do at 2:15. And all of a sudden, we just kind of are rude to God and run off in our thoughts, wandering thoughts. Sometimes it's wandering eyes. I tell you, our kids today are growing up in a wicked world. Between all the entertainment and the electronic devices and a little switch and just tap on a little screen and the wickedness is in front of you. Sometimes it's wandering tongues. something you don't like. Things are changing, or maybe the pastor said something, or one of the other pastors said something that just, it's not the way that you like it, you know. And so you tell a friend your little disgruntled thought, and they tell somebody else, and wow. We can wander away from God in many, many ways. What keeps us from wandering? What will keep your teenagers, your little children, close to God? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. The key is in that little phrase, by taking heed. It's a very interesting phrase. It's translated diligence in one place and a couple other things, but it literally means to encircle about, to wrap yourself up in, to kind of build like a force field or a wall around you, to totally engulf yourself in the Word of God. Now, people ask me often why I still work with teenagers. I'm 40-15, and I'm not going to do the 50 thing, okay? And there's actually two reasons I still work at the Wilds and work with teens. Number one, I love what I do. I really do. I love teens. I love college. I love sitting down and finding out what's going on in their lives and being able to take the Word and show them that God has answers. I love that. But there's a second reason. And that is in North Carolina, where I was able to serve, the privilege to serve for over 30 years. We have what's called a program staff. And the program staff is made up of young guys, you know, they come and help with the music and the preaching and the skits and all that. And when they come, they usually stay for 3 or 4 or 5 years and move on to another ministry. And being the kind-hearted souls that we are, we always give them a going-away party, you know. It's not always kind. Sometimes they get thrown in the lake or maybe down the water slide or even worse. I remember one guy named Dan. We took him out to a real fancy restaurant, had a great meal. And then we were standing in the parking lot of Pizza Hut and just talking and stuff. And all of a sudden Dan said, guys, well, there were 6 or 7 of us and only one of him. We did. We threw him down in the parking lot. I happened to have the duct tape with me, and we duct taped his legs together and his arms together. One of the other guys brought one of those big rolls of that saran wrap, that clingy stuff, you know? And we literally made him a mummy, put him in a shopping cart, put a little sign on, we'll work for food, and put him by the checkout counter of Ingles. We did. We left him there for about a half hour, and he's just sitting there going like this, you know? He couldn't get out. And finally I said, guys, this is not much fun. Let's get Dan. Let's go bowling. We'll flop him down the lane next to us. If he can get out, he can bowl with us. So we got him, threw him in the back of the van. When we pulled into the bowling alley, we were surrounded by the police. And I did have some explaining to do, okay? But Dan, he was so wrapped up in that stuff. He couldn't think. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so amazing if we were so wrapped up with the very words of God that we couldn't speak, we couldn't think, we couldn't do anything? How do you wrap yourself up with the very words of God? Look at our text again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. You notice all the personal pronouns there. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, number one is simple. Realize who said it. God. God wrote a book. Why? Because he had so much for us to know, and he knows how quickly we forget. So he got guys like Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Paul and Matthew and Luke to write it down for us. God said it. God that with the word spoke, this world came to be. All scripture is given by what? Which means what? God breathed. Okay, can I treat you like teens for 1 second? Take your hand and put it in front of your mouth right now and repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Okay. You cannot speak without breathing. And God spoke it. He breathed it out and had it written down for each one of us. God, sovereign God, he gave us this book. And whatever point in life you finally realize, it'll change your life. This book comes from God. Realize who said it. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, not only realize who said it, but number two, repeat it. Say that with me. Repeat it. What do you talk about? Now, I got teens down. You know the number one thing that most teenage girls talk about? Teenage boys. You know the number one thing that most teenage boys talk about? Sports, food, trucks, and finally girls. And I asked teens, what does your mom and dad talk about? Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Weather Channel, when I was your age type stuff, you know? I do. I think I got to figure it out. You talk about what you think about, and you think about what you love. So do you truly love God? Do you love His Word exceedingly, like David writes? Then why don't we talk about it? You catch up with your friends on Facebook, you share Scripture with them. Ladies, when was the last time that your husband came to you and said, "Sweetheart, let me tell you what I got out of my devotions this morning. It was so amazing." Talk about this wonderful book. Talk about it with your family. Talk about it with others. Do you share Christ with others? I know your church has been here a long time. But there's a lot of people that live around Indianapolis, I think. I was preaching at a church one time in February in Maine. Cold. Yeah. The birds up there wear earmuffs. It's unbelievable, okay? And we went to this little church, and I told my wife and my family was with me. We were doing a revival. I said, you know, I'll bet there'll be about 40 or 50 people come out. And 40 or 50 came, and 20 more, and 10 more, and 50 more. Almost 200 show up in the middle of nowhere. So I asked the pastor, I said, where do all these people come from? But the way the question was answered was very unique. It was answered by his wife, who asked her husband. She said to him, "Hun, was it the couple at the post office or the one at the bank that got saved first?" He said, no. Remember, it was the dental hygienist and her husband that got saved first, then the post office, then the bank. You see, these people love God and love people so much. They could not but speak the things they had seen and heard. You do that. Just share how good God's been to you. And say, oh, if you want to hear, if you really want to understand the Bible and know what God's saying, come to our church. I promise you, every time you come, you will know your Lord better. Talk about it. Repeat it. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, you realize who said it, you repeat it or talk about it. But number three, rejoice in it. Now, this is what the Lord tells us to do. Rejoice in His Word. He said, Rand, how do you do that? It's not hard. Because He tells us, as much as in all, what does it say? Riches. Now, I work for the Wilds and I travel a lot. But to make a little money on the side, I'm also a representative for IBM Computer. We have a table back here with some books and some stuff for you. And you can have a little drawing. Put a box and you write your name, put it in that box, and we'll do a drawing. And five of you today get to go home with a brand new laptop. I also am a representative for Ford Motor Company out in the parking lot. There's 2012 Mustang convertibles coming in a little bit. And some of you get to ride home in your new Mustang with your new computer. You say, Rand, are you lying? Yeah, about both of them, you know? Some of you believe me on the computer thing. I can see your eyes, you know? But you know what it's like when you get a new iPad or a new iTouch or a new iPhone or a new Chia Pet, whatever it is, new clothes, new house, whatever, new car, the way it smells, you want to share with others, this is sweet, this is wonderful, it's something new. When was the last time that you were reading this book or listening to a message when there was a truth that's technically not a new truth, but an old truth that becomes new to you, impacts the way you think? To the point where it's like, whoa, oh, this is unbelievable. Actually, this morning while I was meditating, and I was thinking about your pastor and his dear wife. Because I want to be like these guys. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is it? And I'm meditating through Philippians 1. It's talking about Paul in prison and people preaching envy and strife and attacking him and thinking, what in the world? You know, when there's a sincere commitment to the Word of God, to Scripture, it puts within your heart a delight for God. But there's something else that breeds maturity in life, and that's suffering. Because that brings about a dependence on God. And suffering can be good sometimes. It really can, no matter what it is. And I want to be mature in my walk with God. I do. And a new truth to realize that suffering can be good. I remember another, I was raised again, one of those kids from a broken home. I never heard the words, I love you, from parents or whatever. Wanted to. Worked hard to maybe hear it. Made sure the grass was mowed and the house was cleaned. And I mean, I did. I tried to earn those simple truths, you know. And I wanted to hear those words, never did. It carried over into my Christian life. It did, even when I went to college. Went on two or three extensions, read my Bible, prayed, had a prayer list of, if I do all these things, maybe, just, nah, probably not, but maybe God will love me. No, I'm really not worth much, but I did. I tried to earn God's love. And then I'm reading through Romans and it says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing! Nothing! God doesn't love me more when I'm really, really good or less when I'm really, really bad. He loves me. That's a truth that you can grab a hold of. And I've had teens come into my office and say, I don't think God loves me. I said, so? I said, I don't think God loves me. I said, doesn't matter what you think. God loves you. I can prove it. And God loves you guys. And it doesn't, don't get to thinking because of the struggles you're going through in your family or your life that God doesn't love you anymore. Uh-uh. He's immutable. He never changes in His love. These are truths that you can rejoice in. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. I really believe this is a lost art in our world today. Meditation, thinking, to mull over in your mind, to ponder, to concentrate. I use the word to reflect on it. Reflect on the Word of God is part of wrapping yourself up with the very words of God. Do you meditate? Do you? Meditation, as you know, is an agricultural term, comes from ramification. I was raised on a farm, and in fact, how many of you live in a farm? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many have ever been on a farm? Okay. How many ever sang on McDonald had a farm? Let me see your hands. Okay. All right. Pastor, I'm going to make this real easy for your folks, okay? The girl cows, those are the ones we get the milk from, okay? The white ones, white milk. The black ones, chocolate milk. You got all that. Anyway, they get up early in the morning, and they go out, and they eat their grain or eat their grass. And the way God made a cow is they ruminate. They chew their cud. They get a couple different stomachs. And so if they eat at 6 a.m. in the morning, they get hungry at 10:30, they just take that food and burp it back up into their mouth. Chew it up again. Swallow it again. 2 o'clock, they get hungry again. Boom, just puke it back up in their mouth again and chew it up again. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows and not men like cows? Because we could be sitting in here right now and one of you guys said, how long are we going to go? You know, I'm getting kind of hungry. Oh, Honey Nut Cheerios. Boom, bring it back up. No, we don't do that. But the reason the cow chews her cud is because she wants to get every single nutrient out of it. And that's the concept of meditation. When you take your Bible and open it up and begin to read, don't let a word get by. Study it. Figure out what it means. Take one of my favorite verses like, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou. It's talking about our God. Can you help me out? Give me one character trait or one characteristic of this God that you know. Raise your hand. Who'll be first? Give me one character trait or one characteristic of God. Who'll be first? Yes, sir. God is sovereign. He is in control. You can trust a sovereign God who is also omnipotent, almighty. That's a sovereign, omnipotent God. You can trust Him. Somebody else. What do you know? Yes. He is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful to Him, He stays faithful to us. We don't deserve that. If you confess your sins, He is faithful. Always faithful. That never changes. Somebody else, what do you know about your God?
He's jealous for us.
He is jealous for us. Very good. We talked yesterday with the teens about being jealous of, and I love to watch teens who know they're going to marry the individual and they're in the seventh grade, but then they have a big fight and all that. And the jealousy gets pretty silly. You look at her. You think she's prettier than I am, don't you? And all that kind of stuff. But that's not the jealousy of God. God is jealous for us. And He knows what kind of love can reach down and grab a hold of your heart or your kid's heart and take that heart away from Him. He is a jealous God because He loves us so much. He's jealous God. He is faithful. He is sovereign. A couple more. What else do you know about your God? Raise your hand. Yes, sir. Gracious. He gives to us that which we do not deserve. It goes with His mercy. He keeps from us that which we do deserve. You heard it sung, God's amazing grace. It was amazing long before the song was ever written. It's still amazing. And you know what? It doesn't amaze me that we would love God. Why wouldn't we? Forgiveness, eternal life, He's preparing a place for us. What amazes me is that God would love me. I don't understand that. I've turned my back on Him. I've hurt Him and I've grieved Him so many times. And He keeps loving me. That's His amazing grace. I don't deserve that. It's a divine enablement that's unmerited. You don't earn it. He just gives it. That's incredible. Maybe one more, two more. Another characteristic of our wonderful Lord. Way back there. Holy. He's a holy God, isn't He? Now don't be confused to think holiness is just sinlessness. It's part of it. But when the heavenly host would sing holy, 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 they weren't just singing sinless, sinless, sinless. You see, the Sabbath day was holy because it was unlike all the other days. And the temple was a holy place of worship because it was like all other places. God wants us to be holy. Like He is holy, it means unique, one of a kind, special. There's no one else. Jesus Christ Himself, four times in Scripture, is called the Holy One of Israel. There's none other that's ever been born of a virgin like Him. None other. He's unique, one of a kind, special. He is forgiving. He is faithful. He is sovereign. He is gracious. Thou will. There's a promise. Keep. That means guard Him, little old me, in perfect peace, knowing everything is right between me and God. And others, what is the condition? Whose mind is stayed committed to Him. Do you know what we just did for 5 minutes? We meditated on God. You almost forgot that you were sitting in church and forgot where you're going to eat today. And you're thinking of another characteristic of God. You were thinking of God. You can do this with your wife, man. You can take some of your friends and go to Starbucks and say, we're going to meditate on Philippians 2 and do it. You can do this with your kids. You can do this with your grandkids. Learn to meditate. Because I promise you, the memorization kind of gets it into your head. The meditation gets it into your heart and it becomes part of you. It's all part of renewing the mind and changing to Christ-likeness. Reflect on the Word of God. Look at the end of verse 15. And have respect unto thy ways. The word respect, it's living with the words, yes, sir, in the tip of your tongue. God says, I want you husbands to be loving and not harsh with your wife. And you know what you husbands say? Yes, sir. I want you kids and teens to obey your parents quickly and sweetly and completely. And you teens and you kids say, yes, sir. I want you wives to respect your husband. I want you to support him and make him successful in life. Yes, sir. I want you to be holy. Stay away from sin. Yes, sir. Instant obedience to our wonderful commander who only commands that which is best for us. Respect the Word of God. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. To delight, to take pleasure in, to enjoy, to appreciate, to find satisfaction. I use the word to relish, the Word of God. In other words, acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Let me say that again. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. In that trip that we were at Maine, the people we were staying with, they asked us, have you ever had Maine lobster? And I said, no, we never. I never had. And they said, we're going to have it this week. I said, sweet. So later on that week, they brought them home. They were huge. And I was taking my pencil and sticking it in the claw and moving it around. I, again, had never been that close other than going into, Red Lobster and seeing them in that thing. My wife would never kill one to eat one. Anyway, it was right in front of us. And I asked the lady a very stupid question. I didn't know. I wasn't trying to have an attitude. I just said, well, how do you cook a lobster? And she said, well, we just get this big pot over here, get the water boiling, and put it inside. I said, you boil them to death? Now, my wife is very kind and loving and loves animals. At this point, she very conveniently got out of the kitchen and went into the living room. While she was leaving, I asked another stupid question. I said, well, do they like make noises when they die? And the lady just shook her head like I was stupid. You know, I didn't know. I really didn't. So I'm standing in the doorway. My wife is in the living room. And the lady's here in the kitchen. I said to my wife, here she goes. She's picking it up. She took the lid off the pot. She's putting it in the water. They used these little tiny forks, and we took them and dipped it in that white meat. Then we dipped it in that low-sodium, low-cholesterol, low-fat butter, and oh, when I took a bite out of that, it was unbelievable. I could not wait to get another taste. Do you know what my Bible says? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll tell you what will happen. You start meditating on this book. You start reading it. You get up early in the morning and spend time with your Lord. Here's what's going to happen. You have your alarm set for 6:30. You wake up. It's 5:48. And your first thought is, sweet. I get like an extra half hour to spend with God today. You'll be sitting down having your time with the Lord. You look at the clock and think, no way. It can't be time to go to work already. Oh, man. I'm going to have to get up earlier tomorrow. That will happen. As you learn to totally wrap yourself up in it. Look at the end of verse 16. I will not forget thy word. Do you know what we do? Temptation, sin. Remember the word of God, asking temptation, sin. Again, then remember the word of God and ask God for forgiveness. Temptation, sin. Remember the word of God, ask God for forgiveness. Can we get off this wheel and like start a new one? Temptation, remember the word of God. Obey it. Tough sometimes, but obey it. And thank God for the victory. Temptation, word of God, obedience. Thank God for the victory. That can become part of our lives, because when temptation comes and we get an attitude or we get a thought that we want to do something we know violates this precious book, we just kind of push the word of God aside for a minute. Just for a minute. Because we need 1 John 1:9 here real quickly after we do whatever we're going to do. And we do. We forget about the word. Here he says, I will not forget. Right in the midst of temptation. Your wife says something. Let everybody be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Wrath dwelleth in the heart of fools. Now this is all within like 4 seconds, you know. The word of God that you've memorized and meditated on, it comes into your heart. Your husband says something very harsh and you're tempted to lash out, and your first thought is, be kind, be kind one to another. I don't want, be kind. Spirit of meekness. Do all things without whining and complaining. And this is the word of God working in your heart. In the midst of temptation, in the midst of trials. As we already talked about, God's sovereign. He is in control. In the midst of good times. When everything's going great, Lord, thank you for your word. Don't forget the word of God. It's part of wrapping yourself up in it. I was only 9. I was really scared. It was almost completely dark. I could barely see, just a little bit of light. And I came to the edge of the woods to a farmer's field. Actually, there was a farmer in his field leaning against his truck looking my way. Almost like he was expecting me. You know why? He was. My granddad knew the woods a lot better than I did. And he knew if I got lost where I'd probably come out and called his friend to be there to point me home. If you've been wandering away from God in your time with Him, in your devotional life, in your prayer life, in your witnessing, whatever, He knows exactly where you are and He wants you to come home. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Very simple truths from a very profound passage. And I know personally I cannot do it justice, But folks, if we would just learn to love the Word and live in it and let it live within us, oh, the spiritual maturity would just be magnified in your life. How many this morning would simply say, Rand, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a believer. I know my sins are forgiven. But my dedication and commitment to the Word of God, I'm talking about personally, when you're home, when you're alone. You say, it's really been lacking. And I have not been wrapping myself up in the Word, and I've not been encouraging my kids, both by how I ask them to be in the Word and how they see me in the Word, by my example. And you would simply say, Rand, would you, as we close this morning, would you pray for me that God would help me to be committed to His Word, and that I would love it in such a way that my kids and my grandkids would watch me and want to do the same. I truly, truly need to be more committed with time and a certain place and a certain plan to be with my Lord every day. Please pray for me. Can I see your hands, please? Lift them up high. That's wonderful. Heck, wonderful. Thank you very much. You may be like I, visiting here today, and you're meeting some people who very obviously have the joy of the Lord in their hearts. They love the Lord. They actually believe that this God that we've been preaching about is real. He is. And He loves you. But maybe there's never been an opportunity or a chance for you to truly understand your need, that your sins need to be forgiven, because it's our sin that separates us from a holy God. And Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and died and paid the price for you. But you say, Rand, I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm confused about this, but I am concerned for my soul. I see what's in other people's lives that know God, and the peace and the tranquility and the joy. I really want to know this God. And you would just say, Rand, would you please pray that God would give me the courage to get with someone very, very near future and get this taken care of? I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. Please pray for me. Can I see your hands? I won't embarrass you, but I pray, I promise. Lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you there. Some others. Pray for me, brother. And I don't know this God. And I want to. And I want to be able to experience even what we've been talking about today. That close fellowship with Him. Someone else says, Ren, please pray for me. I do not know Christ. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm going to pray for you, and the pastor's going to come and close our service this morning. And everything I said, this is not just a message to hear. This is a truth to be lived. And at whatever point these truths truly come into your heart and life, I promise you it'll change you. Father, thank you for these dear people, and thank you for their tender hearts. And I do pray that you would remind us daily to spend that time with you. And then, Lord, as they do, Lord, would you please, as your word is alive, it's quick, it's very powerful, would you please, Lord, make your word so real to each one as they study it, reveal yourself through it, and help us to know you in a much, much more personal way because of what you've given us in this precious book. We pray for our kids, our grandkids. I know, Lord, you know they live in a very wicked world, and we don't want them to turn their backs on you. So as adults, as grandparents, as parents, please, Lord, help us to love your word so that others and those that we love so much will see that in our lives, and they want to emulate that and do the same. So, Father, I'm asking you to work in our hearts. For those that are struggling with their salvation, Lord, without that freedom of knowing their sins are forgiven and that assurance of eternal life with you, I know they're miserable. And I pray that you would give them the courage, even this morning, to get with someone and get this taken care of. Thank you for this gift of salvation that you so freely give us. We don't deserve it, but thank you. Thank you for working in our hearts.